Welcome to the Chris Raby Show on Scoops at DannyMac.com. It is the Tuesday, January 26th, 2021 edition of the program, and we're talking some more football as we will say hello in just a moment to Chris Harris. You can follow us and follow along with the show by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Scoops with Danny Mac. You can also subscribe to the podcast, Scoops with Danny Mac, wherever you listen to podcasts. Take a screenshot, leave a review, and send me a tweet at CHRABE. You can also email me, Chris, at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Now let's say hello to Chris Harris from Harris Football. You can go to harrisfootball.com. You can check out his podcast, his YouTube channel, and more. Again, the website, harrisfootball.com. Chris, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hi there. I'm well. Thank you for asking me to do this.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. You know, we had the AFC and NFC Championship games over the weekend. Of course, the storyline that everyone will be talking about is Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes. Kind of at first glance, coming out of the weekend, what do you make of this matchup, Chris, and at the quarterback matchup that everyone will be talking about for the next 2 weeks?
I don't know if you know this, but the quarterbacks don't play each other, which will be said by a network stooges 100 times between now and then. I mean, obviously, you're going to give the check mark to the Chiefs, obviously. I mean, it's not been, in the course of time, wonderful sport to bet against Brady in big games, but I mean, he's lost three of them. He's been to 10 of them. It's just stupid. It's unbelievable. But, you know, he's everything he's been in the past. He's still really, really good, but he's not quite what Mahomes is now, because it feels like Mahomes has, I mean, like, is peak Patrick Mahomes, which we feel like we're living through or maybe even not yet gotten to, is peak Patrick Mahomes better than peak Tom Brady? Probably not. I mean, 2007 was insane, 50 touchdowns. But in terms of the wide range of things you have to do to defend Mahomes, you've probably never had to do to Brady, which is he just wrecks the game when you do everything right. And Tampa's defense does a lot of things right and will probably have plays where everybody's covered and it shouldn't work. And that dude will run around and have some linebacker of him and still make a ridiculous throw in ways that Brady never really had to do. I mean, I don't know why I'm going on and on. The way the Buccaneers are going to win this game is probably not by holding Patrick Mahomes to 3 points. That's probably not what's on the docket, right? There's a certain number of points you're going to get if you're Kansas City, and Tampa's just going to have to outscore them.
Pretty remarkable. What were your expectations coming into this year after Tom Brady joined the Bucs? Because we saw the numbers and the projections, whether it be from Vegas and futures on the Bucs to get to and potentially win the Super Bowl. We saw fantasy implications. What were your expectations for Brady and the Bucs offense?
I thought it would be an improvement over the last year or two with New England because the weapons were so much better, and probably it wasn't that much of a downgrade in offensive line. And I mean, I don't know if you know this, but I'm from Boston, I'm from New England, and so I've watched his career with some personal stakes, and I just didn't think what went wrong with the Patriots at the end of 2019 was about Brady. Maybe you could argue some level of disinterest or frustration. I don't know how we can ever tell that, although people like to guess, but mostly I think it was surrounding cast, and I thought his arm still looked like it was a major league top 10 kind of arm, and I felt like he clearly knows where to go with the ball. I mean, none of the stuff that we're going to say a young quarterback has a problem with, he never would have a problem with. So I was optimistic because the receivers are really good. It's an aggressive play calling system. If we're going to talk fantasy, I had him as a top 10 fantasy option, which turned out to be right. And like, this isn't it's a shock in the abstract that somebody who's 43 still has the capacity to do this, but given that he hasn't lost the capacity to do it, it isn't that much of a shock to see him continuing to be good.
Yeah, it's been impressive, especially with the strange offseason and with the limited time for teams to acclimate. It seemed, Chris, and tell me if you agree with this or if you think I'm off base, it seemed maybe coming into the playoffs that the Bucks hadn't really put their best game together for a couple of weeks in a row. Maybe earlier this year in the regular season against the Packers, but it seems like they're maybe just now hitting their stride. Is that possible?
I mean, I think it's a good, you know, it was an easy fallback all year to go, well, no training camp, well, no practices, well, no. Anytime you wanted to excuse anything, right? It was an easy, and sometimes it wound up being true, and sometimes it wound up being noise. I think now, in retrospect, we can look back and say a pretty significant change happened probably after that, maybe the second Saints game, the Chiefs game, right around that time for the Buccaneer offense, where somebody went to somebody and said, this isn't working. You know, we can't. Tom Brady led the league in pass attempts to travel 20 plus air yards, 25 plus air yards. He never did that. He could throw for 4,000 plus yards every year and not need to do that. That's not really always been his game, and it wasn't that successful. It's the Jameis Winston offense. So somebody went to somebody and said, we have to when we're playing against blitz heavy teams, Gronk's got to stay in block. We have to have more outlets. Let's play Fournette more because we trust him more as a pass catcher. We have to have more route combinations and fewer, you know, just ISO fly routes, three total like go routes, all at the same time. So the offense has clearly changed, and whether or not it's for the better in Bruce Arians' deep dark heart, like, it isn't his nature, but I think he's at least made the concession that it's best for the quarterback that he has. And so I thoroughly agree with the statement that says, you know, the first half of the year, we weren't seeing what Brady could be with better receivers, because it just wasn't a system tailored to somebody who is completely precise and completely timing oriented and really the history of going downfield. And I feel like now, I mean, we're going to look at the cumulative stats of this NFC Championship game against Green Bay and say, ah, Brady, they got there despite him. And there's no question. There were probably three throws in the second half that were awful. The jump ball interception was terrible. The interception that Mike Evans tipped wasn't terrible, but it was, you know, overthrown, and he tipped it because he was extending to try to get it. And there was one more that he overthrew the end zone, should have been a touchdown. We would forget, I think, that the first half he was absolute nails, ridiculous, unbelievable, dropped long balls on a dime, hit short stuff on time, stuff like prime New England Brady. And if someone wants to tell me, well, he can't do it for a full game, so it isn't quite, okay, that's fair. That's fair to say 2021 Brady isn't 2007 Brady, but that first half was really impressive. And I think maybe that first half would be an indication of what, you know, sort of the stride hitting that they've done.
Talking football with Chris Harris. Chris, one more question on the Bucs. What's impressed you about Todd Bowles and his defense, and what defensively the Buccaneers have been able to do against some really, really explosive offenses? And certainly it'll be another challenge against Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. But what have you liked about Tampa defensively?
I think everything starts, don't you? Everything starts with personnel. It's just ridiculous. They have front seven. I don't like the secondary that much. I certainly didn't like it when the two starting safeties were out, you know, in the second half of this Green Bay game. But the defensive front, the two middle linebackers, is just, Chris, you can cover up an awful lot when you got those two guys running side to side. You know, it's just such a big difference. So, you know, scheme-wise, I don't know that they do all that much. So, you know, they can get pressure with four some of the time, and that's Shaq Barrett had a really good game. Like, I think the goal from time immemorial, since the blitz was invented, was to not have to blitz, to be able to control offenses by not having to send extra pressure, because it exposes you in the back end. And that's obviously the goal against the Chiefs, because you want as many bodies sitting out there to confuse Patrick Mahomes in the secondary as possible. But of course, the problem that they had the first time and the problem they're going to have probably this time is just that guy wrecks it. You know, you've offended it well, you've gotten some pressure with four, you're in his face, and he just runs around. I think his arm is great, but a lot of people have great arms. His accuracy, frankly, is really good, but not the best. Brady's got better accuracy than Mahomes does overall. I mean, people are going to point to 55% completion percentage in the playoffs. All right, well, all I know is Brady basically won that Washington game by himself with his accuracy. So I think if you wanted to give me like a tire swing challenge, I would take Brady. The thing that Mahomes has that I mean, Russell Wilson has it to some degree, had it more in his earlier career. Josh Allen, you want to say Justin Herbert, there are other guys too, but Mahomes more than anybody else is just this, what the hell? Your body is facing the wrong way. You're looking the wrong way. You've got pass rushers hanging off you. You can't step into the throw. And just somehow he has this otherworldly coordination of being able to deliver the ball where it needs to. It's just, I don't know. I don't know that a defense really stands. You know, they should have lost that Browns game, and it should have happened because he wasn't in the game.
Yeah, it seemed like even in the Buffalo game last week, you know, that they weren't playing their best game, but Kansas City's just able to play from ahead, play from behind, and if you let them hang around, I think everyone kind of saw it coming in the third quarter after Buffalo failed to score a touchdown on their first offensive drive. Like, all right, like enough is enough, and Kansas City just kind of put them away after that, like they put a lot of people away over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I remember that was a 9-0 game, Buffalo. And I mean, I was at the time I was tweeting like, all you've done is made him mad. Like, you know, you better plan on scoring. You better plan on scoring 35 points. You know, you better. And 35 wouldn't have been enough, as it turned out. And I mean, we could talk about Sean McDermott, just incredibly bad decisions to kick field goals, you know, in situations where you're going to need all the points you can get. You're crazy, man. But that's where Tampa Bay is going to be too. They're going to have to go, you know, pedal down. They have to go for fourth downs. They're going to have to not settle for field goals because they've got to. I mean, when we got down to the final four for sure, and maybe even final eight, it was very clear Tampa has the best defense. They do. I don't love the corners, but okay, they're not horrible, and everything else is really good. And it does. It's not going to matter. Like, you can have a great defense, but against that guy, you better plan on scoring 30-plus.
Yeah, which is why I really like the decision and the sequencing at the end of the first half when Tampa, you know, had fourth down, brought the punt unit on, took them off, Brady came back on, and they end up taking the shot and scoring the touchdown. It was like, it was perfect.
Absolutely. It's just exactly what you need to be doing because Rodgers isn't quite Mahomes in the, you know, complete ridiculous, you can't, irrepressibility, I guess you'd say, but he's close, and you better get yours when you can. And frankly, it was a fairly low risk thing anyway, like there weren't that much time left, and it took me back. I actually tweeted it out at halftime of that game to the Tampa Raider game at halftime, right before halftime. They did the exact same thing right around midfield, took a shot to Scotty Miller on the exact same play, and it was a touchdown. So if I were Kansas City, I would be paying attention to that play.
Couple more minutes with Chris Harris as we talk a little football. Chris, outside of Brady Mahomes, which individual aspect or which actual matchup, since the quarterbacks don't match up, as you pointed out in this game, which individual matchup do you think will emerge as maybe the most intriguing over the next almost 2 weeks?
It's got to be Tyreek Hill. I mean, there's lots of things that can make just differences in games. Mike Evans, nobody can cover Mike Evans. One, there's a chance for Mike Evans to have a big game. Hill is the total game wrecker. You ask why does Travis, you didn't, but like somebody might say, oh man, you got to cover Kelsey, dude. Like, look at him. He's got 13 catches. He's got 13 catches because they're terrified of Tyreek Hill. That's the bottom line, is if you're going to go out there and single up Tyreek Hill the way you did in the first matchup, he's got, what do you have, 230 yards? Like, you can't. You have to pick your poison. What I hated about Buffalo's plan against Kansas City and what I think Tampa will mix up a little bit more is just way too many spot drops, zone, you know, just sort of really basic zones. And let's face it, there are ways to double a superstar receiver and still create looks, create confusion. I mean, Tony Romo in that game kept saying, you got to bump Kelsey off the line. Just have a defensive lineman stand there and bump Kelsey off. It sounds like a small thing. They never did it. And I mean, if I'm Tampa's defense, I'd rather have Kelsey and Hill, because Kelsey's going to beat me with 1,000 cuts as opposed to Hill just beating me all at once. So how they deal with Hill, that's got to be more help than last time. And then how they still create enough different looks that Mahomes isn't just automatically going, oh, well, Travis Kelsey's standing by himself 15 times in the middle of the field. That's easy money. Like, that's going to be the big challenge. For me, this is, you know, I don't think Kansas City's defense is bad. I think they're going to send the house. They always do. I think they're probably going to hit Brady some. I think Brady's probably going to get some of his. The real question is, does Tampa's defense, which is great personnel, does it have anything for Tyreek Hill? And just sort of that, like, it's three guys you need to worry about. I don't care about the running game. Like, there's three guys you need. Mahomes is unbelievable. Tyreek Hill is unbelievable. Travis Kelce is unbelievable. Those are the guys you have to worry about, and that's, to me, what this game comes down to.
And Chris, are most New Englanders and most Pat fans rooting for Brady squarely on Brady's side? Is there a conflict in folks that you know and Patriots fans and New Englanders in your life? How are people handling this, watching Brady leave and then have a tremendous amount of success in Tampa?
I think it is conflicted. I'm not there. I'm in Los Angeles, so I'm not getting too much like firsthand. I can speak to my family. I'm rooting for him, and my mom is not. My mom's like, "Bah, traitor." So I think there's just so much Brady backlash, just the way like there's LeBron backlash. There's just always gonna be backlash on that guy, the guy, right? The best guy ever. Oh, he's playing now.
Society just loves backlash, right? And then loves backlash to the backlash.
If somebody's like the best ever, then I hate him, right? That's okay. I mean, you know, if Brady had played for another, if it had been Peyton Manning on the Patriots and Tom Brady on the Colts, I wouldn't like him either. I think I wouldn't be so keen to say, actually, he's overrated and sucks. Like, I think I would recognize, oh, LeBron, oh yeah, he's like, I've never rooted for a team that LeBron's on, but I can recognize he's one of the two or three best players ever and don't have any problem saying it. So, you know, I guess I don't understand the mentality that says I used to root for him and my team's out of it and now I hate him, but it seems like it exists.
Chris, as we wrap up, and again, go to harrisfootball.com. You can check out the podcast, the YouTube channel, and more. What for you will be the dominant storyline that we'll be talking about and following over the offseason? I know we're still waiting for the Super Bowl, but is it the Deshaun Watson storyline and saga that has begun to emerge out of Houston, and do you expect that to really control most of the narrative in the NFL offseason?
I do think it's just the quarterback musical chairs. It just seems like we're going to get a bunch of guys moving around, and Watson might be one of them. I tried to go back through NFL and come up with an analog for a quarterback of Watson's status getting traded that young, 25, whatever he is, 24, 25. I couldn't find one. I mean, Jay Cutler, like, no. You know, I honestly couldn't find one. You know, it's all Fran Tarkenton. It's all late in career guys. It's Rich Gannon or whatever. So part of that makes me think it won't happen, that at some point the Texans are going to go, we can't do this. As much as it's tempting to say, we want Justin Fields or whatever, we can't do this. But I guess if the player won't stay, the player won't stay. But between that, between Stafford, between what happens with, say, Jimmy Garoppolo, what happens with Matt Ryan maybe, what happened with Carson Wentz, there are a bunch of teams who just need quarterbacks because we're having Breeze retire, we're having Rivers retire. Like, there's serious need out there. And, like, which franchises are going to hit the reset button and rebuild? You know, a Saints roster that's way over the cap and loaded, are they really going to go, okay, pick number 30, you're our guy, let's go? Or even Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston. It just feels like a big risk to take. But there certainly are going to be teams who need quarterbacks who get left at the altar, who wind up being like, that's kind of what the Patriots did this year. You know, they were like, well, we'll find someone. And that someone wound up being Cam Newton, who didn't look washed in September, but sure looked washed after that. And that he was the lowest paid starting quarterback in the league. And they cheaped out and tried to do it the thrifty way, and it didn't work. Like, there are going to be two or three teams who get left in that situation this year, and just figuring out who those teams are feels like maybe that's the big story.
Yeah, well, I'm a Bears fan, so you mentioned Cutler, and I'm sure the Bears will come up with a way to ship out a ton of draft picks or foolishly trade up, and they'll find a way to make a big move and give up a ton, and then it won't work.
I mean, they certainly are on the list, right? I mean, Saints, Colts, Patriots, Bears, like, there's six more that I'm not saying. And, you know, I'm not going to count the Jags because we think they're drafting their solution. And maybe I'm not going to count, the Jets are in that mode right now, but maybe they're the likeliest spot for Deshaun Watson. There's just so many. And some of them don't have the cap wherewithal, the contract ability to accept a Stafford or Ryan or whatever, or Wentz. But for sure, I mean, there's... You can get almost to like the low double digits of teams that could probably use someone new, and the Bears are certainly in that. Oh, they'll just sign Trubisky. Everything's fine.
Ah, don't say that. Everything is not fine. HarrisFootball.com is where you go. HarrisFootball.com. Check out the podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts, the YouTube channel as well. Chris, enjoyed it, man. Appreciate it. And we'll have to catch up again soon and see where the Super Bowl and the NFL offseason takes us. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you for having me. It was really fun.